And now here are the nominees.
It's awards season, and safe to say no ceremony is more highly anticipated than the Oscars. Big budget films, red carpet razzle dazzle, problematic hosts, long, long ceremonies. It's a good time. Nominations for this year dropped bright and early Tuesday morning, full of surprises and snubs alike.
I did not wake up for it because I was at 7 a.m. and I value sleep too much to do that.
I did not watch the broadcast because it was too early in the morning.
I actually kind of forgot that they were being announced.
I always wake up and watch it. It's Christmas morning.
I personally read a Vulture article many hours later. But as a cinephile myself, I rounded up a panel of some of the most movie-obsessed people I know to hear what they thought of the Academy's picks.
You know, I really badly wanted Jared Leto to get a nomination just because, I mean, we already know that the Oscars are a broken institution.
That's Aman Dada, a sophomore studying psychology and communication studies with a minor in RTBF. And don't worry, he's kind of joking. In terms of his actual picks, Dada was enthused by some and disappointed by others.
Supporting actress, we didn't see Catriona Balfe for Belfast. We didn't see Ruth Negga for Passing. We didn't see a nomination for Denis Villeneuve for Best Director, which didn't make a lot of sense to me.
But he was excited to see one movie in particular on the Best Picture list.
I adored Belfast so incredibly much. I think it was my favorite movie of the year.
Mama says if we went across the water, they wouldn't understand the way we talk.
If they can't understand you, then they're not listening.
Dada likes to discuss movies with his roommate, Nate Jayaram, a sophomore studying RTVF and pre-med.
I guess my initial reaction was elation that Jared Leto was not nominated for House of Gucci.
And like his roommate, Jayaram shared some of the same disappointments for Oscar snubs.
I really was hoping that Ruth Negga for Passing or Catriona Balfe, or Balfe, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, was going to get in Belfast. It is really disappointing to see Denis Villeneuve for not get nominated for Dune. Like, that movie was like very much his creative vision, and like, it's just like a very immaculately created movie. My favorite movie of the year was probably Dune. I just love the book. Very unrealistic that it would win, but it would be nice to see.
I've been having dreams about a girl on Arrakis. I don't know what it means. Dreams make good stories.
However, he was excited to see Drive My Car and other less Oscar-y performances nominated.
I love that Andrew Garfield's nominated, my boy, for Tick, Tick, Boom. Cody Smith McPhee, good for him, doing like a God's work for all the quirked up, weird-looking white boys.
Speaking of quirked up white boys, there was one whose name wouldn't stop coming up.
I think The House of Gucci is a fine movie. He put his whole look. Jared Leto into it.
Nobody has ever said that to me. Nobody.
That's Cedar Turner, a sophomore studying oboe performance and anthropology with a minor in German. And they're actually not joking about House of Gucci. But like Dada and Jayaram, they shared similar feelings on snubs and surprises.
I think the biggest surprise was seeing that Drive My Car got nominated for Best Picture, which I was really excited about. I would have much rather see Danae get nominated for Best Director than Paul Thomas Anderson, or like maybe another woman director. Like, I would have loved to see Maggie Gyllenhaal get nominated, but it's fine.
And rounding up my panel was Nick Davis, an associate professor of English and Gender and Sexuality Studies. He didn't have anything to say about Jared Leto. But he was excited to discuss his surprises and disappointments, especially for the more technical categories.
The editors clearly understood that Tick, Tick, Boom was a really hard movie to put together and make it feel like a musical, but also feel kind of scrappy and like the back of somebody's napkin and have all this wild energy. Sometimes it feels like those kinds of categories are just like editing goes to like the fastest paced movies and sound goes to the loudest movies. And so I get excited when we learn from the people who practice these crafts to look carefully at things that might not strike everybody in the theater.
Davis, who has actually been to the Oscars, knew a lot more about how the Academy operated than I did. So I figured it'd be worth getting a little history lesson. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences put on their first award show in 1929, presenting winners with gold-plated statues that eventually gained the nickname Oscar. The ceremony was first televised in the United States in 1953, and since 1969, they've also been televised internationally. But due to declining viewership in the 2010s, the Academy set new rules, a strict 3-hour program and an earlier start time. How do the awards work? It's fairly straightforward. First, to be eligible for submission, a movie must be publicly shown for paid exhibition for at least 1 week in a commercial theater in Los Angeles County between January 1st and December 31st of a given year. Only members of the Academy can nominate and vote for candidates. The Academy itself is divided into branches of film production, and each branch votes for its corresponding category. Thus, writers nominate writers, editors nominate editors, etc. Because voting power is solely in the hands of the Academy members, there's been some criticism raised in recent years about diversity. The hashtag #OscarsSoWhite movement, started in 2015 by activist April Rain, pushed back against the Academy's crediting mostly white and male nominees, a demographic that dominates the Academy itself. Responding to this pushback, the Academy announced in 2020 that it had exceeded its goals of diversity, with, quote, 45% women, 36% underrepresented ethnic/racial communities, and 49% international from 68 countries, end quote. I wanted to see what my panelists thought.
The importance of understanding that there are so many films that don't get that don't get that kind of recognition because the way that this works is so political, it becomes so muddled in what it's trying to do, which is actually just a celebration of quality movies.
We've kind of moved past the whole Oscar is so white thing to a degree, but I don't think it's ever gonna like reach like perfection or whatever.
I think it's ebbed and flowed. Like, on one hand, Moonlight won Best Picture, and then 2 years later, Green Book won, which is like an objectively terrible kind of racist movie.
So much intention was brought to making the Academy look like the world. It's still not there. I also think that
so it seems like they all agree like this that wind things up aren't carrying perfect, maybe but are trending in a somewhat positive direction.
Of proof for and despite what's the Academy's shortcomings and the pomp of the ceremony,
perhaps there's still some value in watching every year. Davis had a nice thought about this. Oh, shoot, I better wrap this up.
I'm kind of a dopey person.
Thank you to the Academy, my interviewees, so to everyone at WNUR News,
and
my parents.
The 94th
Academy Awards will air on March
27th,
2022 on ABC. And for WNUR News, I'm Allison Rauch.